At Lowe's, this Veterans Day and every day, verified military members, veterans, and their spouses get automatic silver status in MyLowe's Rewards with free standard shipping, plus 10% off eligible purchases with no annual limit. It's one way we honor and give back to those who have served and still do. Learn more now at Lowe's.com/military. 10% discount can't be combined with another offer. Exclusions, terms, and conditions apply. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at Lowe's.com/terms. Subject to change.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
Welcome to JN Today. Now, first on our stories, former Majority Leader and Member of Parliament, Constitutional, Legal and Parliamentary Affairs Committee, Cletus Avoca, says the NDC MPs will rely on the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, for directions on where to sit when Parliament resumes. He's been reacting to Supreme Court ruling that said the Speaker's declaration of 4 seats were vacant unconstitutional. He spoke earlier on News Desk with Faustina Safo.
Well, as a lawyer and then a senior legislator, I think that we should avoid any conflict between the three arms of government. And I think that if we reconvene Parliament, if we are able to go back to Parliament today, we will expect the Speaker to inform us of the Supreme Court decision. We will expect the Speaker to inform the House of the Supreme Court decision, and therefore we will have to fall in line. Whether the Supreme Court decision is right or wrong, we have agreed and adopted that constitution and given them that power of supervisory rule over all the organs, I mean, in terms of the interpretation of the constitution. So we will respect it, even though we disagree with the ruling. I think that we should respect it, but I sincerely disagree with the ruling of the Supreme Court.
You say you will respect it, but I want you to clarify for me. Should Parliament reconvene today, would you occupy the majority aisles of the House?
Why are you speculating? Let us convene.
It's a question.
And then let the Speaker make the announcement, and then we will fall in line.
Until the Speaker makes the announcement, where would the NDC be sitting?
Say, oh, when we convene, this is going to happen and whatnot. I don't think that. I want to avoid speculation. I will expect that.
But this is not speculation. I'm asking you.
The Speaker willy-nilly will inform us about the decision of the Supreme Court, the ruling of the Supreme Court, and then we will respect that.
The Supreme Court's verdict is supreme. You are saying until the Speaker of Parliament makes an official declaration to the House, then you will respect it.
He announces the decision of the Supreme Court to us. Did I need to declare? He informs, officially informs us about the decision of the ruling of the Supreme Court. And we will respect it as such.
Meanwhile, former Supreme Court Judge Justice William Matuguba says the Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, is bound by the Supreme Court's ruling, noting that per the Supreme Court's decision, the 4 affected members of Parliament are entitled to return to Parliament and participate in legislative proceedings. He's been speaking with Elton Broby.
And according to this rule, general provisions don't override specific provisions. And so once the specific power about vacancy of seats is given to the High Court. The general powers hanging there cannot override the special provision. Otherwise, that special provision will be rendered completely hopeless.
Meaning the court, the Supreme Court had no business going into this.
Yes, I'm coming. They have a kind of, what do you call it, referential jurisdiction.
Right.
That's to say, this matter, which is a vacancy of parliamentary seat matter, is for the High Court. However, if the parties there contend that some legal provision relating to this matter is ambiguous, and it's a constitutional provision, then at 132 requires that the High Court will stay the provisions and refer just that issue of interpretation to the Supreme Court.
In this case, this was not done.
This wasn't, it went straight.
Or this was not exploited.
It wasn't exploited. It wasn't exploited. And number two, you see, the question of even the referral, right? When the issue arises, it doesn't mean that any time it's alleged that there's an issue for the interpretation, the High Court automatically must state it will have to consider whether the provision in question is actually ambiguous.
Mm.
If in his opinion it is not ambiguous, then proceed with the case.
But the speaker, yes.
If a party is satisfied, can go to a Supreme Court or supervisory jurisdiction to quash the view of the High Court and order it to refer that issue to it or refer the issue to itself for determination. And after determining it, they send that determination to the High Court and they dispose of the case insofar as the issue requiring interpretation is concerned. But then the final determination of the matter is from the High Court.
Justice, yes. This is a case where an arm of government, the leader of an arm of government, gave a ruling based on his understanding of what the Constitution says.
Yes.
And then a member challenges that decision.
Yes.
Clearly, one would say that the Supreme Court was the avenue or the platform to bring finality to this matter.
Yes, but their finality, that's, I mean, is governed by the same provision. Their finality will come when the court, given that jurisdiction over that specific matter, has difficulty, or the parties have raised a difficult interpretational matter concerning it. They say, oh, okay, this thing is not that clear. So they are bound to refer to the Supreme Court. That's how the Supreme Court comes in.
Mm.
That's how the Supreme Court will come in. But not ab initio. That's just straight away.
Also, former President Kufuor has also been speaking on the matter. He says he expects strong leadership from Speaker of Parliament, Alban Bagbin, on the matter. He spoke with Asempas FM OB.
Send me a come. And Kufuor says there's a strict separation of powers in many cases. Then you can say executive. President, you are on for majority of ministers from Parliament.
From Parliament.
Immediately, just a hybrid. Just a executive.
Yeah.
Judiciary, I can say, by operation of law, no, yeah, passive. But when you are co-activating, on an all final show what the Constitution intends and means.
Sure.
Mr. Baka. Sure. And here, I'm involved, but for Ghana's sake, you know, I'm a baby, Cassa, make us be a binon in a much day. Influence the situation, okay. But at the end of the day, no speaker, no nature, parliament, no, and intimate minister, and I say, one in turn, also, but one what depending, says the old dragon, and his chair, the Dunisha movie.
Yeah,
Mr. Answer, history, no, on my recording in waste beer, was seven by Nachapa,
yeah,
only in the fair. Chancellor, because hey, any person. They be by in a parliament to cry and ye. No, I have cried the pass be by no and the
dear.
I don't wish that for him.
Okay.
To Mr. Renara. Mr. Ren for Ghana's sake. No. On through beyond funny for formatory. No one through must say. Mom Ramet Transit will be untrained baby and what did I'm fine yes, I can't make on the bus.
Now Member of Parliament for Adanse Asokwa, Katie Hammond, has filed a criminal complaint against a Member of Parliament for Kitui North, James Kluche Abeji. Katie Hammond, in his complaint to the police, alleges that he has been assaulted by the chairman of the Public Accounts Committee. A video has gone viral following the indefinite adjournment of Parliament last week, where some NDC MPs were heckling the Trade Minister. Katie Hammond says he will pursue his complaint to its logical conclusion.
Human beings in that parliament, we are human beings. We exhibit human instincts. We are not animals, and we don't exhibit animalistic instincts. I do not understand why, on a matter where my colleagues, are discussing, and I wasn't actually talking to the particular Afeji man. I was talking to my nephew, Atu Forsen, the minority leader. I was saying to him, Atu, it is your responsibility to make sure in the circumstances of this case, the Speaker of the House abides by the ruling of the Supreme Court. So talk to him. We show leadership. That's the person I was talking to. This man came out of nowhere and started pushing me. You guys have all seen the pictures, the videos. Pushing. I kept shouting, you can't push me like that. What is your business? Why are you doing that? He pushed me about 5 times. What did he think he was doing? So I have a complaint. Yes, I've signed a complaint.
This
is not colleagues. We are not animals in there. Yes, anyway.
Well, on health, World Health Organization is allaying fears that Ghanaians could be at the highest risk of contracting the deadly Mpox virus. The United Nations Health Organ in August this year issued a red alert classifying Mpox as a public health emergency of international concern. However, ever since the outbreak, some African countries have been unable to roll out an effective emergency preparedness plan as the virus continues to spread across the continent. Speaking on Cadet Africa on the Joy News channel, World Health Organization Africa Risk Assessment Officer Mary Kweta told Blessed Soga that though Ghana is handling the health emergency effectively, viruses such as the Mpox knows no borders and barriers.
A race against time to contain another health emergency. After waves of COVID-19 and Marburg outbreaks, Africa is currently grappling with the spread of Mpox, another deadly virus posing a significant threat to public health. As of October 31st, there were more than 48,000 suspected cases of Mpox in 19 African countries, with Central Africa's death toll soaring at 99.5%. This development has prompted action from the World Health Organization, which says it is working in partnership with African countries to improve their emergency preparedness.
Yes, I think we are doing our best to strengthen the preparedness capacity in the African region. And personally, for our program as preparedness, we are playing a critical role in governance. And apart from that, we are also encouraging a country, or maybe helping country, to do risk profiling, because as WHO, all our recommendations are evidence-based.
Right.
And we are drawing lessons from our previous outbreak to make it as a recommendation for the next outbreaks.
Would you say that Ghana and other African countries are out of the woods yet? What do you feel is the assessment of the situation now?
I think they are responding. Ghana is responding properly to this outbreak, as well as other countries. We know that most of the cases are coming from DRC, so that's why we are supporting Kinshasa, we are supporting the DRC, as well as all the countries on the continent.
Are you then suggesting that countries such as Ghana should not be worried about Mpox?
Because of the number of cases, I will say yes.
Okay.
And because of Ghana has capacity in place, and they are prepared. And we know how Ghana responded to Marburg outbreak. It was amazing.
Yeah. Although Ghana may be doing well in containing this latest wave of Mpox, Mary Kweta believes that now is the time for Africa to roll out a One Health policy that will allow cross-border collaboration on public health.
So that means that we need to collaborate from the community level until the national level to make sure we have a strong collaboration while responding to any emergency situation.
In the meantime, countries are hopeful that with this new initiative by the World Health Organization and sister UN agencies, African countries will be in a better place to effectively roll out an emergency response plan.
Lehesogans report for Joy News, Accra.
Now let's bring you some election-related stories because we are the election headquarters. Now, first off, presidential candidate of the governing New Patriotic Party, Dr. Muhammadu Bawumia, has promised to make miners in the country millionaires if he's elected president, pleading for responsible mining practices, speaking at a rally in Obuasi West. Dr. Bawumia said his government will provide the necessary support to miners to increase their production and improve their livelihoods. He also said his government will, among several policy initiatives, establish a mineral development bank as part of his plans to transform the mining sector. Nana Bwachi Yadom has a wrap from day 8 of the campaign tour.
Day 8 of the Vice President's campaign tour of the Ashanti region. It's a 15-day tour across all 47 constituencies in the Ashanti region. And today happens to be the 8th day of the tour. The Vice President is visiting the Obuasi enclave. He's visiting the Obuasi East constituency, Obuasi West constituency, Akrofuom, and would be doing some meet and greet or a little bit of engagement with residents or community members in the Obuasi constituency. He has had a stakeholders engagement or meeting wherever he goes. Where we are currently is where he's having his second stakeholders engagement with the people of Obuasi East constituency. Well, the Vice President in his engagement has been touting the achievement of the Akufo-Addo government, sharing his vision and mission. We all know that this constituency is well known for mining activities. Well, the Vice President has also touched on what he intends to do for mining, for the mining community, and what he would be doing subsequently from now up until he's elected President of the Republic and even sworn in on the 7th of January.
Yeah, the common use of facilities, any gold catcher machines, Bremo, the so miners, minerals development bank.
We will introduce the common user facility and gold catcher machines to support miners. We will also establish minerals development bank, just like their great development bank, to support miners. I am going to make you millionaires while you mine responsibly.
I'm going to make you millionaires. I'm going to millionaires. I'm going to make you millionaires. You will mine responsibly, not in the water bodies. We will make you millionaires. You will become small-scale miners, you will become medium-scale miners, and you will become large-scale miners.
He's done a lot of campaigns at the NDC. He has a lot of message at the NDC. And he's gone to every single constituency, and Bawumia is winning. We don't need any prophet to give us a forecast. We know we are winning. We know we are winning. And we have won.
Thank you so much. And that is the Honorable EUFA. But also, I have the former majority leader, CHMN Sabunsu, here with me. Leader, the campaign of the Vice President, this is day 8 of his campaign. How do you see the campaign so far?
It's going wonderfully well.
Right.
Wonderfully well.
Is this what you expected?
It's addressing issues. It's not attacking personalities. It's about what he's going to do for tomorrow. He's not living in the past. And so I believe that any Ghanaian who is looking at what is going to happen in future should be listening to him and what he has in store for Ghanaians.
Well, we'll bring you more updates from Nana Bwachi Yadom a bit later or in our subsequent bulletins. But moving on to the NDC, presidential candidate of the National Democratic Congress, John Mahama, says one of his initiatives, the Black Star Experience, will uplift Ghana's creative sector and position the country as a year-round tourist destination. speaking during a meeting with creative arts professionals in the Ashanti region. He said the policy will promote tourism beyond the traditional December peak season. He says the NDC is committed to advancing the Marine Drive project, which will transform Ghana's coastline with cafes, art markets, and other attractions. Maxwell Agbagba has more in this report.
John Mahama's meeting with the creative arts industry brought together notable names from different parts of the country, especially the Ashanti region, to the Great Hall of the Kwame Nkrumah University of Science and Technology. In his speech, John Mahama promised a second national theater will be built in the region if the NDC wins power in December.
National Film Theater, since China for boy you see Rawlings Abreso. Everything there, it's not been rehabilitated.
He said the National Theater has not been rehabilitated since the Chinese helped us to build it during Rawlings' administration. A lot of things are in bad shape at the theater. The curtains cannot be drawn, the stage is in bad shape, and so it's time for us to rehabilitate the building so it can help the creative industry. In our 2020 manifesto, we promised to build Ghana's second national theater in Kumasi. That promise is still in our 2024 manifesto. So we'll fulfill that promise, and we're repeating that if we come into power, we'll build our second theater in Kumasi.
You see a second national theater in Kumasi. If you say Kumasi, they are the center of the arts and culture in this country.
He said the national theater in Accra will also be renovated. John Mahama says the NDC will institute an initiative called the Black Star Experience. It aims to establish Ghana as the best tourism destination through a year-round celebration of the country's rich cultural heritage.
And so I don't see why we can't make budgetary allocation for the creative arts. And every year, finance minister or the kind budgeter, you pay a special budgetary allocation for the creative arts. Now, you need more paying for arts now, say, near year allocation, capacity building, and you person we will put it under that budgetary allocation. To further bolster creative industry, we'll support local content creation initiatives and ensure that our digital content creators, particularly our youth, have the resources to develop content that promotes Ghanaian culture, the Black Star Experience. And we are the main policy driver for the creative arts and the tourism industry. Now, under this Black Star Experience, yeah, well, Pan-African Month, Senya Minu Ababa Sadikain.
Under the Black Star Experience, we will have the Pan-African Month featuring a variety of events. We'll host an annual film festival where we'll select the best films, showcase them, and award the filmmakers. We will also organize the African Music Festival, inviting African musicians to perform alongside some of our Ghanaian musicians. Additionally, we'll introduce African Fashion Week to showcase our culture, and we'll hold food fairs so people can sample a variety of African cuisines. There's a lot we'll be doing under the Black Star Experience.
African Fashion Week. In the African fashion, you've been a fashion designer, it's not more designing, nice. You've been a food fairs, caterers, near the woman in Ababa, no more been near Diani, and then people will come and sample the various dishes. I feel so tourism promotion. Sir Bosomono, we will organize buses, domestic tourism. In Tiwao Pesoko, you pay a small fee and then we'll make accommodation arrangements. It is a Mole Park, now Pesoko, you go to Mole Park, enjoy the place for some days and then you come back. If you want to go to Volta region, ecotourism, Kakum Park, everywhere you want to go, Senebeya, you'll be promoting domestic tourism.
He says a future NDC government will prioritize the Marine Drive project to beautify Ghana's coastal line.
And then also Marine Drive project. And so
we started the Marine Drive project, but after we left government, it couldn't continue. If we are elected, we will partner with the private sector to ensure its completion. If you travel outside Ghana, almost every country has a beautiful seafront where they sell artworks, jewelry, cafes, and other attractions. This is something we plan to replicate here.
Cafes, you can go there and have a nice time.
Well, at some point in the bulletin, talk to Maxwell Agbagba. But let's go back to the camp of the NPP, where my colleague Nana Bwachi Yadom will bring us updates. Nana, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. So we saw that you were speaking to Osaiche Mensah-Bonso, former majority leader in Parliament, and I saw that he's been making some contributions. But please, what more can you report on him?
Well, MFA, we spoke to the former majority leader on the happenings in Parliament, especially on what the Supreme Court has, what he has to say about the Supreme Court's ruling that came out yesterday. Well, he says that the NPP party and then the caucus will from today engage Speaker Bagbin on the matter, and he's expecting a resolution as quick as possible. He says that even before the Supreme Court's ruling, the party was engaging the Speaker, and afterwards, after the Supreme Court's ruling, the party will continue to engage the Speaker. I asked him whether or not he's expecting Speaker Bagbin to comply with what the Supreme Court had to say yesterday, and he says that he has so much hope that Speaker Bagbin would comply. But MFA, if I'm to bring you my response as to where we are currently with Dr. Mahmoud Bawumyesu, then I can tell you that the bath of the Vice President is currently in the Edra Secheu Dumasi constituency. Dr. Mahmoud Bawumyesu is having a stakeholders engagement this morning with traditional leaders, clergy, and then the imam. Later onwards, he'll be moving to the Mampong constituency and then wrap up the day at the Nsutta Kwame Mbeposo constituency, where he'll be engaging stakeholders as well and then party faithfuls.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll touch base with you later on Election Brief for more details. Thank you so much. Now, moving away from elections, President of the Ghana Journalist Association, Albert Jumfo, is asking journalists to uphold accuracy by rigorously fact-checking their reports. Speaking at the opening of an advanced fact-checking training session in Accra, Mr. Jumfo emphasized the critical role of responsible fact-checking in ensuring a fair and informed election process. Now, later we'll be, okay, well, let's talk to Collins Frimpong, who is reporting to us live from there. Collins, good afternoon, and what more can you report?
Good afternoon, MFA. So the program or the training is a training which began today and it will be ending tomorrow, and it's currently happening at the Atlantic Embassy in Accra. The program is organized and funded by Africa in collaboration with the Ghana Association at the Spanish Embassy. And the Ghana Journalist Association president was here, and as you noted, he urged Ghanaian media or Ghanaian journalists to take advantage of the training and also make sure that going to the 2024 election, we are well equipped and also check every information before we put out there. And even to the extent that we report issues that later find out not to be correct, we need to also correct it in our subsequent bulletin or the portage. The Spanish ambassador who engaged the media, Mr. Angel Lozando Flori, also spoke about the importance of press freedom.
Collins, we are unable to hear you clearly. And if you can hear me, kindly speak up.
Can you hear me?
Now it's clear. Thank you. Please, go on.
Right. So the Spanish ambassador to Ghana, Mr. Lozando Flori, also spoke to the media and mentioned the importance of press freedom. So he urged the public to allow the media to do their work. All sort of attacks that will be coming on the media or journalists in a way undermine press freedom. And this goes in a way to also increase misinformation and disinformation in the media space. So that's what has been happening here today. Tomorrow the program will continue.
Okay, we'll bring you subsequently again, details subsequently in our bulletins. But also, six accused persons in the assault of Joy News crew covering illegal mining activities at the Manso Esumenya have appeared before the Bakwai Circuit Court in the Ashanti region. Five other accused persons are at large. They have all been charged on five counts of assault, conspiracy to commit crime, and stealing. We'll talk to Kofi Edu-Donfe, who is in court and joins us on the line. Good afternoon, Kofi, and what more can you tell us?
Good afternoon. So this is the Republic versus the 11 accused persons. As you rightly said, we had six of the accused in court. They are Felix Amankwa, who is a foreman, 31 years. Apesi Frimpon is a security officer. He's 52. We had Frederick Afol, a driver, 27 years. Joshua Ofori is also a driver. He's 23 years. Musa Mumuni is an excavator driver. He's also 27 years. And Apia Daniel, an excavator driver as well, who is 28. The five others, we are told, are at large. We could not tell when they will be arrested. But the charges that were preferred against them by the prosecutor included, there were actually five counts, including conspiracy to commit crime, namely assault and stealing, and also assault and assault by imprisonment. All the accused are employees of Edo Metallium Resources Limited, and they pleaded not guilty to all the charges that were leveled against them. Their lawyer pleaded with the court to grant them bail because, according to him, they've been very cooperative with the police since they were accorded the self-recognizance bail and therefore pleaded with the court to grant them bail. This was not objected to by the prosecutor, and therefore all the six were granted bail and to reappear before the court on the 13th of December. So that's what happened here at the Bekwai Circuit Court some few moments ago.
Thank you so much, Kofi Edudonfe. We definitely will be coming to you for more updates. Now let's go on to Climate Focus. Now, in today's episode of Climate Focus, we explore Ghana's textile waste crisis and growing environmental hazard that intensifies climate change impact and ocean pollution. Each week, mounds of our secondhand clothes from the Global North flood Ghana's market, with much of the unsellable waste discarded in landfills or burned, releasing harmful pollutants into the air. In response, the foundation is taking urgent steps to address the pollution, converting textile waste into new products and reducing its environmental toll. My colleague Michael Ashale has more in the following report.
Waves no longer bring seashells to Ghana's shores. They now dredge up piles of discarded clothes left to rot on the beaches. Each week, around 15 million pieces of second-hand clothing, once worn in the Global North, flood markets like Kantamanto, much of it unsellable. Worn out, torn, stained or too fragile.
Trash. Nobody buying this one. So something like this, we can't sell it. It's very bad. Nobody buys it.
Agbogbloshie Market, a place infamous for its pollution, is where much of the unsellable clothing ends up. Clothes that can't be resold are tossed into illegal dump sites, forming literal hills of waste. The Oil Foundation is confronting this mountain problem head-on. A factory to breathe new life into unwanted waste clothing.
Like we're in Ghana, nobody needs winter jackets over here, but a lot of those also come in. As long as somebody has no use for it and it can't find a good place to go to, that's waste.
Kini Ofuriwa Makati is the assistant manager in charge of material research and development at the Oil Foundation. The first step in this process is sorting the clothes by color and then compressing them back into bales.
When we buy them, we bring them to our warehouse facility and then we sort them by color.
These clothes, once considered waste, are now ready for the next phase. The bales are shredded into small pieces, cutting the fabric down to size. From there, they are passed through the granulator, which makes the shredded material even finer. Depending on the final use, the size of the particles can be regulated. What emerges from this meticulous process is not waste, but potential.
We're also working on products that we can make from the fiberboard. Behind me are speakers, both fully made speakers, which were the first speakers that we made, and then the speaker housing down here. We have hangers, there's room dividers, acoustic panels, because Fiberboard has good acoustic properties, as well as many other things. And we're looking to see if we can commercialize some of these products soon.
The All Foundation's mission doesn't stop at textiles. They are also exploring ways to restore the polluted Agbogbloshie Lagoon. Remediation and Decomposition Project Lead, Katia Mami Dufie Osei, is focused on finding environmentally friendly ways to break down not only textiles, but plastics as well.
Basically, we believe that the microbial population in Kwale Lagoon, because of the decades and decades of textile waste, has evolved to be able to degrade it in a way in rates that we haven't really seen in other communities. So we're basically just trying to harness that to deal with the textile waste we're getting from markets like Kantamanso, etc.
While still in its early stages, this initiative is part of a broader vision to restore the lagoon's environment. The waste that once polluted landfills is now being transformed into sustainable products that serve a purpose. But with millions of garments continuing to flow into the country each week, the fight is far from over. For Joy News, Michael Ashali.
Climate Focus is brought to you by Joy News in partnership with Youth Bridge Foundation, Bridging Gaps for Positive Youth Development, and the Climate Development Knowledge Network.
You're watching Joy News today. Please stay for business.
Hello, good afternoon, and welcome to the business segment on Joy News today with me, Pius Kojobaka. In a bid to position Ghana as the destination of choice for business process outsourcing, that's BPO, in Africa, the German Corporation, the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, and its partners have launched the Business Outsourcing Services Association of Ghana. The launch of BOSAG will enable Ghana to tap into the global business process outsourcing and IT outsourcing market. There is more in this report. The launch of the Business Outsourcing Services Association of Ghana, BOSAG, plays a significant role in Ghana's effort to tap into the global business processing outsourcing and IT outsourcing market, valued at $1.01 trillion annually. Speaking at the launch dubbed the GBS Partnership Forum, a representative of GIZ, John Duty, highlighted that the BPO sector has the potential to unlock Ghana's economic transformation.
For the association, they spoke a lot about the potentials that the subsector has for Ghana. They did that with evidence. And now that we, together with the association and our public partner, GIPC, we think that we will, or BOSAG will, engage relevant decision makers and present their case for uptake.
Delivering the keynote address, Chief Executive Officer of the Ghana Investment Promotion Center, Yofi Grant, indicated that his outfit is committed to leveraging Ghana's competitive advantages to attract global companies and position the country as the preferred destination for outsourcing services in Africa.
Today, as we speak, total revenues expected from the BPO business globally is about $0.49 trillion US dollars. Now, even if we're just to take 1% of that, that's in the billions of dollars. And it might, you know, exceed even what we get from cocoa and from timber and from gold and all that, if we build it up as an industry in the economy.
On his part, board chairman of BOSAG, Kojo Afaji Hayford, called on actors in the BPO ecosystem, service providers, key public sector players, and development agencies to join the association so that it becomes the authoritative voice for the industry.
To say the challenges are to scale to that level requires a lot of effort on everybody's part. How we train our people, the kind of people we're training, how we develop middle management so that when you scale, you see, it's not just entry level. It's the middle management level is going to be the biggest challenge. And we need to make sure that we have, you know, working with academia, working with government, and making sure that we can have the right kind of people out there to be able to scale. Because at the end of the day, It's about scale.
The GBS Partnership Forum also saw the official handing over of a 12-page document titled the GBS Action Plan to the Government of Ghana through GIPC.
Open up the investor market. There is more in this report.
The move to go digital is influenced by the call from many investors to have a common platform to engage in trading and also have access to all products offered by the Ghana Stock Exchange. After more than three decades of establishment, the BOWS is making waves to partner more financial technology firms to develop tailor-made products that will attract new investors. Managing Director Abena Amoa has been explaining to Joy Business and also giving some highlights of these partners.
So some of the fintechs, some of the partners we are working with are associated with our stock brokerage firms. So IC Securities, Data Bank, and a few others, FinCap Securities, many of the banks, etc., are all partners that we've given access to our system to be able to link their system and provide these tools to investors or create these opportunities for investors. There are also local fintechs like Second Stacks that we've again verified, provided access to our system. And today on the Second Stacks platform, investors can trade from Ghana into Nigeria, Kenya, soon to be announced, hopefully, BRVM. But this is a Ghana fintech that we worked with from Ghana Stock Exchange and facilitated their access to additional African markets, and we want to do more of those.
Council Chairman for the Exchange, Kofi Adomako, is confident that with the emergence of digital solutions, the BOWS will be positioned as a more competitive market on the sub-region.
The discussions we've had today have reinforced a powerful vision of the future. Digital tools and platforms have the potential to redefine what it means to participate in capital markets. These advancements are not merely conveniences. They are transformational forces that will enable a new wave of investors and entrepreneurs to engage with confidence, security, and ease. As the Ghana Stock Exchange continues to evolve, we are excited to see how technology can be the catalyst for unprecedented growth and inclusion in our financial ecosystem.
Speaking on the theme, Leveraging Digital Technologies for Inclusive Capital Market Growth, the guest speaker for the event spoke on the need for regulations to be developed towards more creative solutions to increase trading on the market.
And that's it for business. Sports is next.